Yo, what's going on? This is your man Ryan Righteous, the Independent Artist Spotlight. Y'all, I got MDB in the building, aka Melodic Ruckus is in the building, man. We're gonna talk about, oh my God, the Church House is on its way, y'all. It's on its way, man. My brother out here is in from South Carolina, man. He is doing so much with mentoring, evangelism, being an artist, running a podcast. He's got the book, The Church House, coming out, man. So we're going to talk about that, figure out why he decided to do it, why right now is the perfect time to reach our youth, man. This is your man, Ryan Righteous, the Independent Artist Spotlight. Let's get into it. Melodic Ruckus, what's up, fam?
Man, what's going on?
Bruh, thank you so much for being here, man. I appreciate you so much, man. How you been?
Man, I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm blessed. I'm really grateful to be here. As you know, man, I've been a fan. I've been watching y'all since the live for live days. So.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate that, bro. And it was so good to link up with you at Flavor Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And have a conversation about life, man, and fellowship. I love that event because it gives us a chance to not look at a clock.
Right.
But just focus on fellowship, focus on the other people in the room, man, and what God is going to do that weekend. So
Yeah. Love
events like that, man. And it was so good to speak with you and find out more about your heart. And then when we stayed in contact, man, and you said you wanted to do the spotlight, I was like, come on, let's go. Let's get it. Let's do it.
Definitely.
So, bro, talk to me, man. Tell me. How have you been in this industry for 20 plus years and have been able to accomplish so much? Because like I said, man, you are a mentor. You work with music. You're a producer. You're an artist. You got your own podcast. And now you've written a book before this one, Brother to Brother. And now you got The Church House coming out. Bro, talk to us, man. How did all of this get started for you?
Got something for you.
Oh, you got something for me. Okay.
Sir.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Boom.
Okay. I was going to ask you about it.
That's the official book, okay. Man. You got an early copy. So
don't let the people
get jealous of you because they got to wait till the 29th.
Man, we didn't tell people that they can go to melodicruckus.com and get a free chapter.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a free chapter available. This free chapter actually starts before the storyline starts in the book.
Okay.
So it's highlighting why did Jermaine even decide to come back home? What drove him to want to do this?
Okay.
Why is it so important to him to do something for the youth?
Yeah.
So if you really want to get into the mode of what's this story going to be like, make sure you check out that free chapter.
Okay.
It's called Before the Return, and it's available at melodicruckus.com /free/chapter. Man, hey, really, it was God, man. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we have a lot of gifts in us and we don't understand how they're gonna come together. You know, we get the bits and pieces as God reveals them to us.
Yeah.
So, man, if you were to talk to me 20 years ago, I never would have thought anything about a book, anything about these mentoring programs. Yeah, I was into music then, but I didn't see where that would take me.
Got you.
Where that door would open up to.
Got you. So has it always been a Christian focus or did you start off doing mainstream?
I started off doing secular music. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started off doing music. Well, actually, let me take that back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started out as a church musician.
Okay.
Playing the keys and the organ in church.
Okay.
Classically trained musician. And then, of course, you know, went into playing in the church.
Yeah.
And then from there, I started producing. When I started producing, you know, I already had a knack for writing poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, let me try this rap thing out.
Yeah.
But back then, man, shout out to everybody who does gospel rap right now because it's come a long way. Because back then, man, listen, bro,
I was like,
I'm a rap. I ain't doing no gospel rap. That's cheesy. That's cheesy, man.
Yeah.
But now I'm proud to say that that's what I do, man.
Yeah. It's definitely different, man, because I remember when I got my start in radio, it was in 2000.
Yeah.
And we had Holy Hip Hop and we had different artists out there. And I was like, bruh, like I'm a Christian, but I don't listen to that.
Right.
I mean, it was hard for me to really get into this space. and then learn the roots of where the music came from. Once I learned the roots, I started to appreciate it a whole lot more.
Oh yeah.
But I still heard a lot of things that was like, we about Jesus and we gonna have this, that. And it was like, nah, we can't do that. We can't show up like that. So when God told you, man, to put on so many hats, what was that like? Because again, musician, author, producer, artist, mentor, evangelist, like, how did you get to the point where you were like, okay, God, I'm gonna strap on every hat and just take it on a chin?
Well, I don't think it was ever really something that was a desire. Being from the South, man, I tell people a lot of times, like, people up north, people out west, y'all have opportunities. You know, y'all got an uncle that works for a record label that you can knock on that door.
Yeah.
Especially when we was coming up.
Yeah.
Down South, man, we didn't have a lot of resources. We didn't have a lot of people who were experts in different areas. Mm-hmm. So to pursue something in music meant to put on these different hats to make it work. So really, that's how it started, man. I had a love for writing, and I already was a musician. So that's how I put on the producer hat.
Yeah.
I started recording. A few of my older cousins began to mentor me in the recording process. So I became an engineer.
Okay.
So, you know, it as time went on,
yeah,
another hat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And through Melodic Ruckus LLC, bro, you have worked with a lot of artists. I mean, you've worked on music videos. You've worked on production for artists. Talk about what that was like and how you built that from the ground up.
Well, it's beautiful, man, because it goes back to my testimony once again. When I started Melodic Ruckus, that was a record label that we were doing secular music.
Oh.
So I had a whole team. You know, I had about maybe 8 artists.
Wow.
So, and it was just like any from the ground up story that you hear. We had the studio in the basement. You know, we rock it out. But God used that passion and used that in me to be able to use on the kingdom side.
Yeah.
So I already had the work ethic. I already knew how to work with people. And actually, when I came over, I gave my life all the way to God. I got that relationship with him. It was almost hard to do music in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't have any resources on this side of it.
Yeah.
So it felt like starting back over.
What about your team, though? Didn't you lose a lot of your team from people saying, I'm not with this Jesus music? And then, you know, you literally had people walk away, and you had to, like, did you have to shut people out of your life at that point that didn't understand the vision?
Well, man, me and my team, man, we had such a brotherhood, man. Okay. We was already locked in, and it felt like I would have to shut them out. Yeah. But, man, we still keep in touch, and I feel like now God is using me to be a light to them.
So
they can see. Okay, because they know where we came from.
Yeah.
You know, they know the path we were on.
Yeah.
For them to see me doing this and really be locked in and serious about God, man, mm-hmm. I know it's a light to them.
What was that path? How did you come to know Christ for yourself?
Well, I'm going to start at the beginning with that. And it's good because this is kind of, it relates to how the storyline from the church house came to be.
Yeah, okay.
So my grandfather was a pastor, started his own church.
Okay.
You know, built it up brick by brick, started a church, had his family in there helping out and all of that. So by the time I was born into that.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young age, I knew about God.
Yeah.
You know, I learned all of the Bible stories, all the Sunday school stuff, everything like that. But there was a few things that happened in the church scene that kind of made me question the whole walk, the whole path.
Mm.
Instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, as they say, I said, you know what? I'm gonna start from scratch with this thing. After I lived and experienced life, and I came to the point to where, okay, I say I'm a Christian still. You know, I never stopped believing in God.
Yeah.
No matter how wild I got. I always believed in God, but I felt like at this point, you know, I need to really get to know him for myself.
Yeah.
And the first step I took in that was, let me read the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I say I'm a believer, I never read the whole Bible for myself. That don't match up.
Exactly.
And man, God really dealt with me in that season and brought me closer to him. So Now, mind you, mm-hmm. this is in the season of my life. Mm-hmm. I was still smoking weed. I was still, you know, doing all of these things that I used to do. I was probably on the last end of my clubbing days, because that gets old after a while anyway. So in the midst of that, though, I saw how God still used that.
Yeah.
Even to the point, I'm having Bible study with people. I didn't proclaim to be a pastor or preacher or nothing like that, yeah. but he was able to use me to reach people that were still in that lifestyle, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the whole ministry came about. And him, God sneaking in on me, because he showed me that ministry doesn't have to look like the way we think it looks.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, it's funny, man, when I read the synopsis of the church house, and you talk about the different crews, you talk about Jermaine, I did think of you, you know, especially seeing the caricature of Jermaine.
Yeah.
Is it based off your life?
Man, that's a real good question. So the experiences come from experiences that I really lived out.
Mm-hmm.
But the character Jermaine is not really based off of me.
Okay.
Because it's more so based off of, if this would have happened in my life, how would it have turned out?
Ah, got you.
So the whole him coming back home and mm-hmm. seeing this old church building, and he has mm-hmm. the idea, you know what? I'm going to start a community mm-hmm. youth program based off of music mm-hmm. using this building, because it's just sitting here.
Yeah.
That's an idea when I actually came back home that crossed my mind, but it didn't come to fruition.
Okay.
So now the book is talking about what if that would have happened.
Okay, cool, yeah. cool. And so in the book, man, you talk about faith, second chances, like the story, the culmination of the story is to get us talking about second chances, our youth and mentoring. Talk about why you decided to write this book.
Man, it's real important to me to highlight, you know, the mentoring, to highlight the second chances,
mm-hmm.
because I actually do mentor and work with youth.
Yeah.
A lot of the youth I work with are at-risk youth, as mm-hmm. they call them. I don't like that term, but at-risk youth. And, man, just living it out and seeing mm-hmm. the needs that they have.
Okay.
Seeing yeah. the system fail them over and over.
Yeah.
So yeah. the story is it really wants to shine light on that, and is using Jermaine's life, because he looks back at when his generation was coming up. And guess what? Society failed us in this way and in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So his whole aim is, how can I make sure that these young people don't fall through the same cracks that we did?
Yeah, and I resonate with that. I actually used to be a mentor at a nonprofit organization for at-risk youth, and I did that for 7 years, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I know about the system failing them. I know about family, parents failing them, and we see that play out in real time.
Right.
I remember a young lady who had such a promising opportunity in front of her, and I was just like, hey, they're gonna drug test you, so you gotta watch out. She's like, well, I might be able to not do this, but I'll be honest with you, Mr. Moore, it's on the table at my house when I come in at night.
Yeah.
My parents are smoking. So wow. what do I do in that situation? And it is a big deal when it comes to our youth and how they need second chances. They can't just be, you can't just categorize them and say they're lost to this, to the streets, they're lost to whatever. They need a second chance to be able to show who they really are. Like, get them right. out of that environment and let's see what they become.
Right.
So I love that. So talk to me about, like, what was the inspiration behind each character?
Each character, man, really is a representation of a certain hurdle, certain hardship,
okay.
certain traumas.
Okay.
Right. So they're all based off of realities that we see through the kids that we've worked with, man. We've seen young people who deal with adult traumas.
Yes, yes.
One of the things that working with the youth at DJJ back in my city, man,
mm-hmm.
we saw a lot of trauma to the point to where it was hard to break through. Working with someone for 1 to 3 years, but breaking through maybe 7 to 8 years worth of trauma.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. And like you said, giving them a positive space even to go back to and not mm-hmm. having to go back to the same community that already traumatized them.
Yeah.
So, man, the basis of the characters come from dealing with those type of traumas
mm-hmm.
and being able to connect them and put it in a storyline mm-hmm. so that people can understand how these things affect people.
Okay. In the book, do you address church hurt?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And do you also address, I know you talked about one of the things that you like to see happen is healing through music.
Right.
Do you talk about the elements of music as well?
Yes, okay. Definitely. You'll see once you dig into it, man, the church house is a character itself.
Yeah.
Where they come, it becomes a sanctuary, not in a sense of what we're used to in a traditional church sense,
mm-hmm.
but it's a safe place for them. They come there and they gather. They actually sit down and have Bible studies and check-ins and talk one-on-one before they start digging into the music.
That's good.
So
that's
it good. Shows not only the elements of music that are helpful mm-hmm. and healthy for people,
mm-hmm.
but it shows how Jermaine focused on building a relationship with these young people through something that they had a common a taste for, which was the music.
I love that. And so when you were writing the book, what was a chapter that stood out to you where you were like, people are really going to resonate with the message of this chapter?
Oh, there were a few.
Okay.
There were a few, but I want to focus on one that caught me by surprise. I was talking with, I have an art club, Advanced Readers Club.
Okay.
So I was talking with one of the art members and I asked them a similar question. Like, what was something that stood out to you? There was a moment to where Jermaine felt like he was losing some of the youth. And
That happens.
And it resonated with my art member, which is my cousin Sharita. Shout out to Sharita.
Okay.
It resonated with her through her being a mother and understanding how that feels. So a lot of parents go through that where you feel like I may be losing my child. I don't know how to reach them at the point of where they are or help them deal with what they are dealing with.
Yeah.
But Jermaine got a text message that was a glimpse of hope. And she said when she read that, it made her immediately cry because she understood the weight that was lifted off his shoulders with that simple gesture.
Yeah. That reminds me, man. I mentored two young men growing up, you know, through the church myself. And one young man, he stayed with Christ and he just continues to, you know, raise his family and do all of that great stuff. And the other young man was like, look, bro, I want to smoke weed. I want to have sex. I don't want to do Christian music anymore. Like, I'm just going to do. And that hurt so bad.
Oh, yeah.
But it was always good to be able to look and see the product of what did work.
Right.
The one that stayed with God, you know. So, no, I get that, man. I really get that. And so when it comes down to the book, what is it that you want people to gravitate towards once they're done with the book? Like, okay, we've read the book. Now we got the taste. Now we got the medicine. What do you want us to do with the medicine that we get?
Man, I want everybody to realize, first of all, that you can do something.
Yeah.
You can do something. What Jermaine did, it may seem simple,
mm-hmm.
but all he did was use what was already in him, his love and his passion for music.
Yeah.
And he used that to create a safe space for these young people.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to know that you can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be something that sometimes we always looking for the cool, the hippest thing that we can find to try to attract young people. Young people just want to know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
They just want consistency. They just want you to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So use what you have.
Yeah.
Use what you have. And I want people to understand the importance of doing so, because if it doesn't matter how successful we get as our generation,
mm-hmm.
if we're neglecting the next generation, we won't succeed.
So I have a very important question for you then. You and I talked about the state of the youth a little bit before we really even sat down today. It's a big concern where music is going to today.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big concern where the labels are pushing our young people toward. There's been a lot of controversy lately about Young Miami's Spin That song.
Yeah.
And I saw a video where elementary school kids were rapping and singing those lyrics.
Right.
And it's like, at what point do we win our youth back to the right, to the right things that are, I mean, I don't feel like they're lost for good, mm-hmm. but it does feel like they're going, they're spiraling in a direction faster than we can save them from. What's your advice there?
Man, the music. Music is a very effective tool when it comes to the youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very powerful, even to adults.
Yeah.
Man, everything we take in, man, it affects our mm-hmm. way of thinking and our behavior, even when we don't think so. So, man, with the music, as adults, as parents, man, mm-hmm. we definitely have to watch what our young people are listening to and help to feed them positivity. It's the responsibility is going to be on us,
mm-hmm.
at least until we get a culture shift.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for me to come to a young person who makes music and who found out a formula. I could make money by making this negative music, and for me to tell them, stop doing it.
I get it.
Without giving them another way that they can make money, I'm just going to tell them, stop doing what you found out that works.
Mm.
So now the responsibility is going to be on us, number one, as parents and adults to guide our kids to the positive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then as creatives, man, we got to put as much positivity out there that we can
mm-hmm.
because the negative is not going to stop.
What happens when we're the problem as well? Like, we won't watch a Pure Flix over a Netflix, Christians. How do we transform our minds into getting to the point where we're not hypocrites when we talk to these kids?
Man, it's a conscious decision.
Yeah.
And I could use, man, we look at a lot of the things that go on when it comes to, you know, racial stuff,
mm-hmm.
where if something happens, we can take a stand on it.
Yeah.
We can boycott certain things. That shows me that it's possible for us to make a decision on not, you know, partaking on a certain thing.
Yeah.
All we have to do is be conscious about, okay, let's do that with the media that we intake.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. going to be difficult. But right now, man, the good thing about it is Christian content's quality has come up.
Oh, we on the map, brother. Yes. We stand on 10 toes right now.
I'm talking about movies, music, man. It's sometimes it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
So now is the perfect time for us to do it, man.
Yeah.
We got some good stuff to watch.
Yeah. That's a good example that you brought up, you know, the music and where we are today. I'm just concerned that we have young people chasing after the wrong things. And even when they see the consequences of it, it doesn't scare them off. Like, it would scare me off if I saw some stuff and I was like, hey, okay, I'm not going to go down that road.
You know right.
I mean? But you're talking about these artists nowadays, they're making songs about killing their ops. They're making songs about making fun of their ops when they die.
Right.
And they have, you know, lost their lives because of it.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to phase the kids that are watching to say, oh, you know what? That's not the life I want. They think, oh, well, maybe I can still get that life. I just won't be as reckless as they were. And it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way at all. Man, I'm a living example that it doesn't work that way. When I was out in the world wilding out and doing whatever I thought I was big and bad enough to do, I thought in my mind, I'm a smooth criminal, so I'm not going to get caught.
That's a good one.
That's what I thought. Hindsight 2020, though.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation was God was protecting me through my ignorance.
Yeah.
Through my stupidity.
Yeah.
And what I think the young people don't realize is that very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, this, once again, it's up to us to try to help show them that. And you're not going to reach everybody. You're not going to reach every young person. Or you might not see the result
mm-hmm.
of the seed that you planted in that young person.
Yeah.
But it may hit them later on. It may be when they hit rock bottom. Maybe mm-hmm. they have to sit in a jail cell as a result of their actions. And they're sitting there thinking and they remember some words that you said.
Yeah.
And now they're in a quiet place to where, okay, I can receive and actually process what mm-hmm. was being told to me back then.
So let me ask you this personal question. did you have to lose a lot in order for your mindset to change? Like, did you lose homies to the street, homies to jail? Did you lose people that you cared about? Did you lose, you know, relationships that you thought you'd have forever? Is that something that kind of triggered you to say, oh, I need to change? Or were you just so much around the church that you were like, oh, this is just going to affect me at some point?
Well, yeah, I always had that foundation, right? Okay. So I always had church in me. I always had a love for God in me. But I did have to lose a lot at the same time. I had to lose a lot, for one, because of my decision making.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times we think when we come to God or when God touches our lives that, okay, everything gonna be good. But no, every choice you make still has a consequence. When David sinned, he still lost the product of that sin and that baby. You know what I'm saying? And it affected his life. So I lost a lot. The point to where I made a change in my life, it came from a prayer.
Okay.
And the prayer, man, it's funny because God is listening. Be careful what you pray for. The prayer was, I was getting tired of how things was going in my life. I said, God, take away all the stuff that's keeping me from getting close to you. In that moment when I was praying, I'm thinking things. You know, I'm thinking like
tangibles.
I'm thinking, you know, distractions, you know.
Yeah.
Man, I prayed that prayer. That's when I lost friends. That's when I lost a job. That's when I lost a car. All at the same time. Relationship.
Man.
But it was that prayer and me not understanding that even the things that look right that I had chose to do in life could somehow still be a distraction from God.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say, you know, I've had that feeling even about like what I'm doing with Trackstars. What we've done with Trackstars has been like, I remember going on a podcast and the guy was like, hey, so tell me some of the things you struggle with. And when I told him, he said, okay, I got it. I'm going to call this part-time Christian full-time ministry. And he was basically saying that I kind of replaced my devotion with God with what I was doing with Trackstars. And I was staying up late processing music, processing song submissions. And I'd be like, well, it's midnight, but I didn't get to my Bible today. But wow. I'm serving the Lord. Yeah. I'm helping put people out in the ministry and in the marketplace. And it's not the same. Now, right. I'm very conscious about getting in my word, listening to my podcast, and making sure that I do like a Bible recap at least once a day. My mom sends me scripture. My sister sends me scripture. And those are all important things. And I think they set the foundation of where we are and where we can use our space to, you know, influence others.
Right.
So one thing I'm excited about, man, is the fact that you got the release coming up on July 25th. And then the book will actually be out on the 29th.
Right.
But you've got a special day planned on the 25th. Talk about that night and that event and what that's going to bring.
Man, the 25th is going to be exciting, man.
Shout out to South Carolina. All of South Carolina needs to come out for this.
South Carolina, man, stand up, man. Yeah, it's going to be a real good event, man. We're going to not just highlight the book, which, of course, that's what we're celebrating. Yeah. But also the theme of the book. It goes around mentorship. It goes around being there for the youth. So we're going to have actually some mentor programs come and be able to showcase what they do for the youth. Okay. Have some of the young people speak and say, you know, why they like these programs. Mm-hmm. Man, we're going to have some fun, some games. We're going to, of course, have some live music there. DJ Righteous Rampage is going to be there.
Okay.
Man,
okay.
It's going to be
That's refreshing
time.
Because most people who put out a book, it's all about them at the release.
Right.
It sounds like you're focused on everybody but yourself.
That's just how I am, man. I like to highlight others, man. I like to celebrate others. Even though it's something that, you know, God is doing through me with this book, I want to use that moment to highlight and celebrate others, because guess what? I didn't get to this point by myself. I didn't be able to achieve the things I achieved without seeing these things in place.
Yeah.
Mentor groups, without having mentors myself. You know what I'm saying? So I want to highlight that and let people know that that's what we need to focus on for success.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's really good. I think a lot of us are afraid to try to live out that in our minds. Like, I'm going to try to go out and do what now because of what? And how am I going to reach them if they don't want to be reached?
Yeah. Those are all good questions, man. Real good questions. And I think our best thing that we could do is take an example from the ministry of Christ.
Yeah.
One way, if you want right now, if you decide I want to reach somebody, I want to go somewhere different, reach somebody in a way that I've never done. Let's get outside our comfort zone. One thing you could do, bring something that is essential to their life. Mm-hmm. The easiest way I've found is food. If you can feed somebody naturally, you now create a situation to where they allow you to feed them spiritually.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah.
But when it comes to going to these environments and reaching people that we see as dangerous, think of them first as people. Mm-hmm. Think of when we look at these young people, what do they need? What did I need when I was their age? Let's start there.
Yeah.
And you will begin to see, man, hey, they're not as scary as we thought. They're not, the situation is not as scary as we thought. Yeah, it's dangerous places. I'm not trying to, you know, every place is safe.
Yeah.
Use wisdom, use discernment, of course.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you a story. Mm-hmm. And this shows that also it's about how these young people communicate. So, man, when we had a contract with the DJJ in Columbia, and they're separated in these different groups, different pods. Mm-hmm. There was one pod where it was just wild, man. I mean, they was cracking on you, jonesing on you. You walk in there, they might snatch your hat off, walking around with your hat.
Oh, my goodness.
All is right, but consistency breaks down walls. What we began to realize is a lot of the adults didn't want to go there because of the way they spoke to them and because of the language they use and all of these barriers.
Yeah.
But we found out what they were actually expressing is, hey, man, I like when you come around. I like when you sit down and talk with me. But the way they say it was extremely rude. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They use a rude language. And I'd be like, F you. But it really, that means I love you.
Oh, my gosh.
They might say, hey, man, get up out of here. Hey, you coming back tomorrow? So they're using the language because they don't know how to express the fact of, man, I like when you're around. I like when you spend that time just to come and see me. They don't want to be cheesy at the same time. So breaking through that wall, man, and really seeing what's in them.
Yeah.
Instead of what they're saying and how they're behaving.
Yeah.
That's a part of it.
That's good, bro. I mean, hey, I take your word on that, man. I take your word on that. Ruckus, tell everybody how they can find you, how they can support you, and what to look out for next on all fronts, from the music front, from the podcast front, from the authoring, mentoring, evangelism. What can they look out for next?
Oh, yeah, man. Everything is on the website, melodicruckus.com. Mm-hmm. That's spelled MelodicRuckus. Man, we have music coming. There's going to be a soundtrack connected to the church house as well.
Okay, okay.
So, man, I'm excited about that. We're getting a lot of different artists, producers. Yeah. Everybody wants to collaborate. Mm-hmm. Man, I have songs from my team in Liberia.
Oh, so, dope. Hey,
man, I'm excited about
that. That's crazy.
That. Yeah, shout out to all the lions in Liberia.
Yeah.
Man, hey, everything right now, God gave this vision of how I could connect everything. So the church house is coming with all of these assets, man. The music, the book, the workbook, and even more things. But you'll be able to find everything at melodicruckus.com. On social media, at melodicruckus, on every platform.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot to look out for. I have a joint project that should be coming out soon.
Oh, dope. Okay.
Me and my brother, Vocal 908, man, we did a project.
Okay.
It's dope, man. I'll let you hear some of it.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Well, listen, hey, incredible story, incredible journey, incredible opportunity with my brother, Melodic Ruckus. Y'all make sure y'all go out right now and support. This is your man, Ryan Righteous, the Independent Artist Spotlight, and we out. Peace.